Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Foodomania. Hope everybody had a really good holiday and good Christmas. And it's hard to believe that it's almost 2013, and it's New Year's in just a couple of days. So that's the whole idea of our show today. We're going to do our New Year's feast, which is always exciting. I love the feast shows because, you know, there's no limit to the things that we can cook and the things that we can make. And today, I was just thinking of some of the really, really fun things that I've done for different parties and different caterings over the years. And that's really what I'm going to focus on today, to give you guys and girls and kids and everybody who's doing stuff out there a chance to do something really, really different and, you know, something really, really exciting. So before we even get started, let me play you this little piece, which is a great little recipe. And I'll tell you how to get copies of all these. So then, Fred, if it goes by a little too quick, check this out.
Sometimes during the day you get hungry and you don't know exactly what to eat. Should I have a little breakfast? Should I have a little lunch? Should I have a little dinner? Well, here's a recipe that might help you combine all those ideas into one little thing. Today we're going to make some incredible corn and shrimp fritters, which is almost like a fried pancake. And here's what you need. To make it really simple, get 2 cups of buttermilk pancake mix, 1/2 cup of baby shrimp, 1/3 cup of chopped green onions, 3 tablespoons of cilantro, 1/3 cup of corn, 2 cups of cooking oil, 1/2 cup of mayonnaise, and 1/2 cup of sour cream, and 4 tablespoons of sweet Thai chili sauce, 1 lemon, and you're ready to go. Here's what we do. First, we'll make the fritter batter. Take the 2 cups of buttermilk pancake mix. Mix the appropriate amount of water into it, but make it a little thicker than you normally would. Add the corn. Make sure it's drained well. Same with the shrimp, the onions, the cilantro, and we're about ready to go. Mix it up and let it sit for a couple of minutes. Let's make the really delicious sauce that we're going to make for this dish. It's called mousseline. Take the 1/2 cup of sour cream, the 1/2 cup of mayonnaise, and the Thai chili sauce and mix it all together. Squeeze a little bit of lemon in it and add about 1 tablespoon of the chopped cilantro. Set that aside. You got your sauce. Heat up the oil in a deep frying pan. If you have a deep fryer, that'll work great. Take about 1.5 tablespoons of the fritter batter and put it in there. Slowly but surely, it'll raise to the top. It's a good idea to use a wooden spoon and roll it around until it's golden brown on each side and remove it from the oil, maybe on a piece of parchment paper or a paper towel, and let them drain. When you get all the fritters done, use that delicious mousseline. Dip them in. That really soft pancakey taste, a bite of the little corn, the crunch of the shrimp, the little onion and cilantro. You've just made yourself a really beautiful morning, afternoon, or evening fritter. You could change the contents of the ingredients. You can make a fruit one and use yogurt as your dipping sauce, or you can add different types of fish. You can use tofu to make it a vegetarian, add some fresh peas. It's endless. However you decide to make them, I know you're going to enjoy them. This is Chef Stuardo with another Cooking Minute. Hey, let's eat!
You know, one of the really, really cool things about these fritters that I really love is, like, if you're having a party, you can set up your little fritter station, and you can have your guests actually participate in making these. And they're really, you know, there's only really one real way to eat these, and that is fresh out of the fryer to the plate. And so what I've done is I've set up a little fritter station where I have all my different ingredients, and I make 2 or 3 different types, and I just let people fry their own, and that's always cool. And, you know, you got to give them a little instruction to make sure they don't hurt themselves in the frying process. But if you do it right, it's incredibly fun. And why not? You know, sometimes like you go to play and you have all this beautiful food laid out. And I know some parties, they might have somebody who's just sort of mainly in charge of the food, whether it be grilling or doing some things in the kitchen. You always see that running around. And this is just something to make you participate a little bit more. All right. Wonderful, idea of parties is to have things that are kind of, you know, fingery, so you can, take something into your little plate and eat it and basically enjoy it while you're talking and conversing. In some cases, you can extend it to the point where you're really laying out the main meal and you're setting up a really nice table for people to sit. That, to me, is always a really good thing. This is one more recipe I want you to listen to really carefully, and then we're going to talk about how to put these together. Check this one out.
Today I'm feeling a little Greek, and I'm thinking, here's a delicious dish that you can make. Your friends and family will love it. It's called spanakopita. It's a Greek spinach pie, and here's what you need. First, you'll need a box of phyllo dough. Usually you can get that in the frozen food section at most markets. You will need 3 to 5 eggs, 1.5 pounds of spinach, 1.5 cups of feta cheese, 2/3 cup of chopped sautéed onions, and 1/2 cup of Parmesan cheese. That's just the start. Now, first of all, take your phyllo dough out of the freezer and let it sit for a couple hours until it defrosts. You'll need a fairly nice square pan, I would say at least 3 to 4 inches deep. Make sure it's clean and dry. And here's what you do. In a big bowl, take your spinach, take your sautéed onions, mix up your eggs, pour in your feta and Parmesan cheese, and stir it really well, and this is going to be your mixture. Then melt about 1 cup of butter and get a pretty nice pastry brush. Now take your pan and brush the sides and the bottom of the pan with butter and lay in your first layer of phyllo dough. Then gently take the brush and butter the top layer. Put one more in. I like to put 2 on the bottom. Then gently scoop your spinach mixture on top of that first layer. I would say just basically about 1/4 to 1/2 inch. Then repeat this process. Another 2 layers of phyllo dough, a little bit more spinach. Make sure you butter each piece of phyllo dough as you do it. Repeat this till you have about 7 or 8 layers, and on the top, you want to put 2 or 3 extra sheets of phyllo dough, buttered really nicely. Don't be shy to slather that butter on top of it really well. Then, take an oven, heat it to about 350, and put it in the center rack. Now, carefully put the pan into the oven and watch it. In about 15 minutes, as it starts to get slightly golden, rotate the pan 180 degrees and give it about another 15 minutes. You don't want to overcook it, but you don't want to undercook it. When it's beautifully golden brown, pull it out, let it sit for a couple of minutes, then easily cut it into nice triangles or squares, and you will have a delicious, incredible Greek fest spanakopita. All right, I hope you enjoy it. Have a really good day. Oompa! This is Chef Stewardo with another Cooking Minute. Hey, let's eat!
And I love that oompa at the end. Okay, so right now we're talking about 2 really cool things. You have the fritter idea and, again, the spanakopita idea. Both of them, of course, don't sound incredibly healthy, with the amount of butter and stuff in the spanakopita and, of course, the frying factor of the fritters. But trust me, if you use a light oil, and once in a while it's okay to eat a little bit of that stuff. And, it's a party. It's New Year's, for heaven's sake. But let's talk about our fruit forest right now. This is really a fun one. And I'm thinking, you want to talk about health. Now, everybody has made fruit salads, and everybody has made, some sort of a fruit, skewer of some kind, which is always seasonal. What I like to do is I like to take it a slightly bit further, and I always like to do the seasonal concept. And skewers are really, really good. Whoever, was in the bamboo forest and making bamboo skewers or thinking about that, they knew that someday you were going to have a New Year's Eve party and you wouldn't need these things. I'm just kidding. Okay, so again, bamboo skewers, there's different lengths that you can get, and I'm trying to go for about a 1 foot size one because I like things to just stand out and look really good. Now, while we're in the skewer mood, we're going to be doing this. Now, what I found, which is really, really an interesting concept, is with all the Christmas presents and things that you did, there's a really good possibility that you might have a large piece of styrofoam sitting around. unless you've already recycled it, which most of us know that's a very hard thing to do. But the reason I'm going to tell you this is really good. What I do is I would find a big, nice sort of piece of styrofoam. Now, this is important that it's a thick piece. And then I'll get a little teeny, nice, simple piece of material to put over it. I've done different things where I've taken just a little bit of, cray paper or something like that and put it over the top. Then what I really love to do, and I like to get a bunch of different flowers and petals and just sort of lay the petals over the styrofoam just to make this sort of almost like you're sitting in the middle of your flower garden in the summer and you're doing some trimming. Then sticking skewers in upright, you're creating basically a little idea of a forest, and it looks really, really beautiful. And the styrofoam is a really good way to display your skewers, as opposed to some people just laying down on a platter and you pick them up as you eat them, and that's all good. But to look at them this way with the colors is beautiful. Now, of course, our fruit skewer, it's really hard to say some of these things. Bamboo skewer, fruit skewer. It's that SK that gets a little confusing. But anyway, fruit skewers are something that is, again, seasonal and people do them differently. What I like to do is I like to combine a few things on the skewers that you don't really maybe think would belong on a fruit skewer. Now, you go and get an assortment of different fruits, and of course we're so fortunate these days that season in most cases don't really dictate the kind of fruit we can get. But be careful when you're choosing your fruits, and make sure that there's some flavor to some of the ones that you buy. And it's not beyond the person to be able to go into a produce section and maybe do a taste. And, you know, if you see a produce person there, you can ask them about that. But, I do it really openly, and I try to take a little taste of this if I'm buying stuff. And I know grazing is not really condoned by most supermarkets, especially if you touch something and that sort of thing. But, listen, if you're going to spend $5 a pound on grapes off season, you want to make sure that you're getting a grape that's decent. Okay, not to pick out a fresh pineapple. One of the great tricks, of course, is to try to remove one of the stem leaves on the top. It should come out pretty easily. You know it's pretty ripe. The other thing that works really good, if you got one, especially the size of mine, is use your nose, and you can usually smell a little fruit fragrance by lifting it up and just taking a little sniff. Same thing with melon. They're usually fragrant, and you can usually get a good flavor by using your smell. And usually taking your thumb into the base of the melon, give it a little press, and if it's slightly soft and moves a little bit, you got a ripe melon there. So as far as fresh fruits, again, strawberries, if you can get some good strawberries that actually, besides looking beautiful, have a flavor to them, a couple of really nice pineapples, some very, very nice assorted grapes. Try to get some things that you like that taste well. Fresh figs, if you can get them, are really good. Kiwis are wonderful. Now, what I like to do is I like to put some dried fruits on some of my fruit skewers as well. So I have gotten some really nice little dried figs that work really good. I got seedless dates that work nice, and you can get a date and remove the seed, but try to leave it whole. And then basically, it's assembling these. Make sure when you cut your pineapple, you get the skin off. The center of the pineapple, the core, is one of the sweetest parts in the world. Sometimes it doesn't work that great on a skewer. But don't be quick to throw the center stem of the pineapple away, because it really is one of the sweetest, most delicious parts to take a few bites out of. Now, go ahead and assemble your skewers by color. In other words, you got a layer of strawberries, you got a layer of pineapple. I like to use some orange slices. Some kiwi for the green, then of course some different sort of grapes. Then your dried fruit assorted through there. However it looks good. And then some people like to take it a little further and they'll go for a cherry. If they go for a bottle maraschino cherry, remember you're dealing with a little bit of dripping of the dye, and some people are not that great about it. But a nice cherry on the top doesn't hurt, and it always looks good. And the one thing nice about a skewer is that people have the option of eating certain aspects of it or not. So if you're not a processed cherry person, then you just omit the cherry from your palate. All right? But these are beautiful. Now imagine these laid out. If you go to my Facebook page and go to Chef's Towards Foodomania specifically, you'll see a picture of this beautiful fruit forest. Now while we're talking fruit, standard fare Italian antipasto and some of these skewers a lot of people do, which I really like, is you take a small piece of cantaloupe, get some prosciutto, Italian ham. If you want to use serrano or some sort of a Spanish jamon, you can do that. But the idea is to get it sliced incredibly paper thin. Take your little bit of melon, wrap a little piece of your ham around the melon and skewer it. Go ahead and follow that with a couple of Kalamata olives, pits out if possible, or possibly a good garlic Greek olive. A little piece of roasted pepper works good. If you can get those little teeny mozzarella balls, you can stick one of those on there as well. A good mushroom cap. What I like to do is get a couple pounds of cremini mushrooms, wash them really good, cut the stem just down to pretty much the, you know, the bell of the mushroom, and take it, simply take a cup, about a third of a cup of olive oil, about 2.5 tablespoons of really, really nice, you know, some sort of a vinegar that would be really good that you'd like, a little bit of salt and pepper, a little teeny bit of dried mustard, some red chili pepper flakes, some salt and pepper. And I put a little bit of brown sugar and make this mixture. And then go ahead and take your mushroom caps after the wash really good. And what I do is I stick them in boiling water for literally about 1 minute. Just the mushrooms, just to give it a little bit of a burn, you know, of a cook to it. It softens them up a little bit. Let them dry really well. you know, drain them and let them sit for a minute and cool. Then go ahead and immerse them in this oil mixture, in this vinegar, this beautiful stuff that I just told you to make, and you will let them sit there for overnight, and you'll have these beautiful marinated large mushrooms. Stick those on your skewer. You get the roasting pepper process, which is really good. You take your roasted pepper, your peppers, red, yellow, you know, stay away from the green ones for this one. Get, you know, just the color of the red and the yellows are really nice. Go ahead and roast those. You can do them on your open burner until they're charred a little bit. Make sure you rub them with a little olive oil before you do that. Once they're cooked, take them and submerge them in a big bowl of ice water. Let them sit there for a minute. And right there in the thing, you can pull off the seeds and the skin just by using the ice water and just dipping it in there. After doing it, it'll rinse off the black stuff and it'll also get rid of the seeds. And take your nice roasted peppers, lay them on a plate, and we're going to use those for the skewers by cutting them in strips and rolling them, and then hitting them into your skewer as well. So you're going to have this beautiful piece of fresh melon wrapped in a beautiful, slightly piece of ham, a couple of nice assorted olives, the beautiful mushroom caps. I like to put an artichoke heart sometimes on it if you get a good solid one. Now, you have a little mozzarella ball and a little bit of the roasted pepper. So basically, you have an antipasto on a stick. Now, this is just another option. Some people will just make a really nice platter with all the things I just described. Don't forget some slightly grilled vegetables. And I've told you in a much earlier show, if you get a chance when you go to the thrift store, keep your eyes open for those George Foreman grills, the used ones. If you're not a big George Foreman grill type person, but you can get one for just a couple of bucks and use it for special parties. You have, for indoor, you have an ability to grill things, like, for instance, zucchinis or eggplants, and get those nice charred marks on there. And you have something that really adds to the look of your beautiful platter. Okay, so we got the fruit forest. We got the antipasto forest as well. I want to talk to you about some wontons, and these are really great. Again, we're talking a slight fry here, but it's worth it. Go ahead and get your wonton wraps. Now, what I like to do really is I buy the egg roll wraps because I like them a little bigger. And then what I do is I cut them in triangles. And you'll find that they're slightly bigger. What I do is egg roll wrap into just two triangles. And then I take those and I'll use those to make the dumplings I'm talking about right now. Now, what I like to do is I like to take some green onions and lightly grill them. And then I like to pull off large lengths of the green, and actually we're going to use that sort of as a ribbon to tie up our finished wonton just for looks more than anything else. The pocket full of this beautiful wonton could be filled with a lot of different things. For instance, ground mushrooms, a little bit of garlic, fresh parsley, and make a mixture that way, lightly, put it in the blender for just a couple of minutes. I really love cream cheese. And you can take cream cheese and put a little Parmesan into it, just a speck of garlic powder or fresh garlic, a little teeny, just a drop of Parmesan and a little bit of sugar. Mix that mixture together. What you're doing is you're taking your wontons, you're opening up, you know, these triangles, and you're stuffing your mixture in the center. Then you're pulling up all sides, and you're taking a little bowl of water next to you and using, you can actually use your finger or a little teeny paintbrush and just paint the edges of the wonton and press them together, and they'll hold together. Then go ahead and put them in your oil and lightly fry them until they get golden and crispy. Then I take the long green onion stem, and I wrap it around the edge of the wonton and make even a little bow. And it takes time, but this is what your guests will remember. And you can make a platter of assorted wontons. Now, for a sauce, very simply, use a little thing of hoisin sauce is really good. You can make get a little bit of sweet Thai chili sauce. And in some cases, you can make a peanut sauce. And the peanut sauce is really, really sort of a complement to a lot of different things that you can do. For instance, if we're doing a skewer theme on our New Year's Eve appetizer party, we certainly can make some chicken or beef saute, which is just taking the boneless chicken, cutting it into strips, marinating it into some sort of favorite flavor. Same thing with the beef. You can get a very thin sort of carne and use those as well. Marinate that. And then on your little grill, you can go ahead and grill, you know, a couple of dozen skewers of assortedness, and you have that. I also like if you can get some good fish and season something that's firm, like a salmon. You can also cut the salmon into strips to make a salmon skewer. You can use scallops and that sort of thing. There's a usually something you can get that's really, really nice, that's firm enough to make it. So we're basically making skewers, and we're sort of creating this theme of these bamboo skewers of stuff like you can actually hold in your hand and eat like that at a party. Now, one of a really, really nice thing to do as well is to do something that's sort of a cold kind of protein platter. And I'm talking about making one of the greatest shrimp cocktails you can. Now, these days, in most fish markets and in places where you can find really, really nice things in the frozen section, you're going to get an assortment of really different types of shrimp, or what I like to call the big ones, prawns. And if you can get a good deal on them on sale, this is a really, really good way to go. And what I would do is I would look really carefully at some of the sales that are going on. And if they go on sale even pre your party, you can go ahead and get them and keep them in the freezer until you're ready to use it. Now, really standardly is to clean them really well, you know, devein them on both sides, on the belly and also on the top. And you can leave the tail on for looks, and go ahead and lightly steam them until they cook. Remember, translucent, you know, cool them down really nicely in some ice water. And you can make some beautiful shrimp cocktails. And you can make either a big platter of the shrimp where people help themselves, or again, make the skewers and do it that way. Serve it with a really nice simple cocktail sauce, which is a red sort of base sauce with a little bit of fresh horseradish, lemon, fresh parsley, salt and pepper, and you have a really delicious cocktail sauce. So right now we have the antipasto platter. We have the shrimps to the cocktails. We have the fruit forest. We have the burrito and melon and antipasto. Antipasti sort of platter or skewer choice like that. Incredible stuff. Now, we have a lot of different possibilities for these parties. And, you know, you can set a theme. I want you to be able to write me for one of the greatest peanut sauce recipes that is known to human beings. And let me tell you, when you make a peanut sauce, usually you want to make it fresh, but there's so many things you can put into it, like the two satays I talked about, which would be a skewer of chicken or a skewer of beef, or even a skewer of shrimp, which would work really, really great. So it's really, really something. So I'm wondering if you have the time to write me, you can do that, and I will absolutely 100% send you a copy of some of these recipes so they can really help you. Let me tell you how you do that. You can write me directly at Blog Talk Radio, or you can leave me a message. And if you're listening and checking on Foodomania, you can send me a message directly there. You can get me directly via email at Chef Stuarto, C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. And just write me in the subject line, put that recipe that you're looking for up. You can also go to www.1020radio.net, where you can hear some of these pieces again. You can hear some of the food minutes for the Spanakopita, for instance, and the corn and shrimp fritters, that sort of thing. And so you have a lot of choices in ways to get in touch with me that way. So that's what I would consider doing as soon as you can. And I would love to hear from you and let you know what is going on with this food stuff. And I want to thank everybody who's been writing and all the incredible loyal followers who have been following Foodomania for up to show 38, which that is today. And we can have some really good correspondence that way. Now, one thing, remember, that a lot of this prep for your New Year's Eve feast can be done in advance. And one other thought to have is just get some help. You can have the kids help you, or even a girlfriend or boyfriend help you, and just get a little help with this so you don't have to do it all yourself. Now, remember, people, you might think that, this is not really that much food and we should go a little heavier, but trust me, with the antipasto platters, the different kinds of wontons and wraps, the fruit forest, the skewers of antipasto, the satays, alone, the peanut sauce, trust me, you're going to fill up everybody quite well. But also remember that you can think about, a soup, a really hearty chowder is really, really nice, and you can make a really beautiful clam chowder or corn chowder or something like that as a complement to your New Year's Eve party. Remember, people are going to be taking their time. They're going to be hanging out, talking, dancing, doing probably a little bit of drinking, and they want to have things to eat. You don't want to pull out all your cookies at once, so to speak, so you want to stagger your feast and a little bit here and a little bit there so you can get, some really nice assorted stuff through the course of the night. And I promise you, you're going to have an incredible time. It's going to be something that's going to be really, really fun. There's lots of choices. And what I think more than anything is make it fun, make it colorful, make it easy. And the end result is going to be something that people are going to be talking about for a while. They're going to be remembering your party. Now, as far as desserts are concerned, lots of different ways to go there. And depending on how aggressive you want to be and how much baking you feel like doing, a good assortment of brownies and cookies, some different sauces like a chocolate sauce or a butterscotch. You could take pecans and cashews and things like that, and you can soak them in a pure maple syrup for about 24 hours to make sort of a little nut topping for some of the things that you're going to make. In some of the other Foodomanias, you can go back and look up some of the great recipes for parties, for desserts. Of course, there are different types of cakes. There are pies. There are torts. And just whatever is up to doing. Lots of times we do a sundae bar. We do an ice cream sundae bar where we'll get three or four different kinds of really good fresh ice cream. And again, like I said, an assortment of toppings and homemade whipped cream, and let people make their own sundaes. That works really, really well. In some cases, we'll do the trifle cake, which is going to be a multi-layer, English-style dessert, and you have that recipe also on other Foodomanias. So depending on the dessert sort of thing, a lot of people will consider their fruit skewers as part of the dessert theory. But most important, more than anything, make it really fun. Have a good time with it, and I want to wish everybody a tremendous Happy New Year, and I hope that this year it goes really, really great for everybody and your dreams come true, which I think is really great to think about, because anything can happen. And 2013, wow, thank you for all your support with Foodomania and Kitchen Cuisine and all my other shows and all your listenership and all your incredible, incredible feedback for 1020 Radio. And this is going to be a great year for 1020 Radio as well. And heck, it's been a heck of a year. It's hard to believe it's almost done and we're on to the next one. Happy, happy, happy New Year, everybody. This is Chef Stuardo. Come on back next week for Foodomania. I'll be here. Bye.